For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Resourcing yourself. Our brains were designed to have a negativity bias. But when we see the negative, we contract and we can't see all the possibilities in our lives. And this gets exacerbated when we compare our messy insides to the highly polished and carefully curated outside of others. So we need to resource ourselves to grow the strengths we need to make our way on the hard road that we call life. If you're like me, you struggle with difficult feelings, often feeling like you're not enough. You struggle with feeling broken, like you've messed up your life, even if your life looks neat on the outside. And to take the power away from those feelings, we have to learn that it's okay not to be okay. It's okay to be an imperfect human being. That's what we all are. The more we try to cling to what was or what we didn't get or what should be, the more we stop ourselves from moving on and creating joy in our life. So I think we start by reminding ourselves that when we're comparing ourselves to others, we're comparing our messy, messy inside to the highly polished and carefully curated outside of others. So we're comparing apples to oranges without realizing it. We all have challenges and vulnerabilities. So we need to develop the inner strength that's going to allow us to deal with them. Rick Hansen says, inner strengths are the supplies you've got in your pack as you make your way down the twisting and often hard road of life. They include a positive mood, common sense, integrity, inner peace, determination, and a warm heart. Researchers have identified other strengths as well, such as self-compassion, secure attachment, emotional intelligence, learned optimism, the relaxation response, self-esteem, distress tolerance, self-regulation, resilience, and executive function. On average, about one-third of a person's strengths are innate, built into his or her genetically based temperaments, talents, mood, or personality. The other two-thirds are developed over time. You get them by growing them. We've talked about neuroplasticity, how your brain is shaped by where you focus and rest your mind. And our mindfulness practice trains us to be in control of where we focus our attention. We can focus our attention on things that inspire awe, things we're grateful for, or things or people we have in our life. Or we can focus our attention on what we don't have, how much better others have it, and what is wrong or what could go wrong. Again, Rick Hansen says, if you keep resting your mind on self-criticism, worries, grumbling about others, hurts, and stress, then your brain will be shaped into greater reactivity, vulnerability to anxiety and a depressed mood, a narrow focus on threats and losses, and inclinations toward anger, sadness, and guilt. On the other hand, if you keep resting your mind on good events and conditions, someone was nice to you, there's a roof over your head, pleasant feelings, things you do get done, physical pleasures, and your good intentions and qualities, then over time, your brain will take a different shape, one with strength and resilience hardwired into it, as well as a realistically optimistic outlook, a positive mood, and a sense of worth. So today, to help build our inner strengths, we're going to explore four practices, and we're just going to be exploring the highlights of them. Over time, we'll probably be doing a full mindful moments on each one of these. The four practices are fostering awe, creating an abundance mindset, strengthening our kindness muscle, and nurturing gratitude. So we'll start with fostering awe. Awe is that spine tingling feeling, kind of like goosebumps, that connects you to something bigger than yourself. It arises when we experience the extraordinary, seeing the Grand Canyon, maybe meeting a rock star or a movie star, or meeting for the first time your new grandchild. But awe can also arise through more mundane things. Leaves changing colors, stars in the night sky, frost on tree branches, listening to great music. Awe helps us by stimulating our sense of curiosity, making us feel more connected and increasing our sense of generosity. Dr. Keltner from the Greater Good Science Center studies awe, and he says, awe calms down the inflammation response. Almost every problem we have today, awe is a cheap, non-ideological solution to the problems of our time. It quiets down the nagging self and opens you up to wonder, wow, how could that possibly exist? And makes us more altruistic. Awe tends to make us more forgiving and sharing. So you can develop the skill of being more aware of the moments of awe. Those of you who signed on early when we saw the picture of the baby with the headphones, for me, that was a moment of awe. All we have to do is pay attention. You know, if we're walking outside and we don't see the beautiful snow formations on the tree branches, or we don't see the stars in the sky, or the clouds going across the sky when they're puffy white and we like to look at them, we're missing moments of awe. So we need to simply pause and open our mind to the wonders of life. I've talked many times about the practice of taking in the good, which for me has helped me to be more aware of the mundane awe that's currently in my life. And taking in the good is a practice that I still do. I've done for probably 8 years, where each morning I take 20 seconds and I find something good, whether it's looking up at the sky, looking at the trees, looking at the pictures of my grandchildren, whatever it is, I take 20 seconds to find something good and just really enjoy it. And I found that over time, I started seeing more good things in life that I was missing, because I was reshaping my brain. Instead of looking for all the negatives, I started looking for the positives. So awe is one way we can build an inner strength. When you feel awe, you feel energized. Another way to develop inner strengths is to cultivate a mindset of abundance. We all were born with a negativity bias. That's how our brains were designed. And along with that comes a scarcity mindset. We always feel like we'll never have enough and we'll never be enough. No matter how many of our dreams are realized, there's always more we have to strive for. A scarcity mindset is very stressful. We need to cling to what we have and strive for what we don't. On the other hand, an abundance mindset can be very healing. It's the feeling that you get when you just rest in the moment during meditation. So hopefully in our opening meditation, you had at least a second or two of feeling just in the present moment where everything's okay and you didn't need anything. That's the feeling of an abundance mindset. You feel like you're enough. You feel peaceful, content, calm, and loved. And because you're feeling a little bit more spacious, you're not contracting, the abundance mindset allows you to see possibilities you can't see in your scarcity mindset. So let's take a moment to reflect on your abundance. And you may choose at some point to journal your answers to these. But for today, maybe you want to jot any of them down in the chat box so we can share with each other. But some of the things that you will help you think about your abundance are, what are your personal strengths? You know, are you kind? Are you caring? Are you intelligent? Are you hardworking? What are some of the strengths that you bring? What skills do you have? Are you very organized? Do you have some knowledge that you share with people? Are you a good teacher? Are you a great cook? Do you take care, great at taking care of your home? What skills do you have? Maybe you're an artist or a musician. And the third question is, what resources do you have? Do you have a roof over your head? Food to eat? Friends and family you can count on? If you think about it, we probably, all of us here, have an abundance. We have everything we really need to be happy in the present moment. An abundance mindset is not toxic positivity where we say there are no problems, everything's good. It's different than being optimistic. With the abundance mindset, you're clearly seeing what you really need and what you have, and how what you have is probably all you really need. So how do you cultivate this kind of mindset? The first step is being aware of the contraction you feel in your body when the scarcity mindset's trying to take hold. We got to catch it before it takes hold, because once we're on that hamster wheel, it's hard to get off. And once we're aware of it, we need to change the focus of our attention from what we have instead of what we don't have. And our mindfulness practice helps us to do that. Throughout our meditation, again and again, we're changing the focus of our attention from the thoughts that popped up back to our breath, or back to, maybe if it's a body scan, different body parts, or back to a mantra. We're practicing changing the focus of our attention. Another way to help cultivate an abundance mindset is to quit hanging around with doomsayers and people who rain on your parade, and surround yourself with people who are positive thinkers. I'm seeing a couple of smiles on that one, so that one must be hitting home. Another way is to give other people their due. Let the other person prevail with their point, instead of thinking you have a scarcity of rightness. Or let them have their moment to shine, because then maybe they'll give you your moment to shine. And to really savor any moment that you have where you feel like you are enough or you have enough. And to start, this is probably 30 seconds or maybe 5 seconds in your meditations. Just really savor that feeling, get to know it. Take small steps to experience little wins. Instead of saying, I'm going to meditate 30 minutes every day, say, I'm going to meditate 30 seconds every day. so that you can experience the small wins and feel good. And above all, and I think this is my new soapbox, avoid comparing yourself to others. Because remember, you're comparing your messy, messy inside to their highly polished, carefully curated outside. And it makes you feel like you don't have everything that you need because you don't measure up. The third way of resourcing yourself is by strengthening your kindness muscle. Kindness practice counteracts loneliness and the sense of separation that comes from not feeling connected to other people. And we can learn to turn down the volume on the internal snide monologue of self-judgment and be kinder to ourselves. After all, if we're not going to be kind to ourselves, who is? Kindness is a skill we can develop, and it all starts with how you pay attention. Kindness practice intends to increase feelings of warmth and goodwill and caring for ourselves and for other people. We can mentally send goodwill simply by repeating kindness phrases. Sometimes when we start a kindness practice, we don't really feel those feelings that we're trying to send. I certainly didn't. And in that case, I just expressed my intention that I wanted to feel those feelings, that I wanted to plant seeds of loving wishes. And over time, it changed. As a matter of fact, at the basketball game on Sunday, I decided to send loving wishes to each player when they were doing free throws. And I started it with the Badgers, but then when the Gophers had free throws, I thought, no, I want them to feel peaceful and at ease as well, whether they make it or not. So we can learn to do that. So kindness phrases are wishing for something that's universally desirable for all beings. It's not, I wish you to get that job. It's more, may I be filled with kindness. May I feel connected and calm. May I accept myself just as I am. Or may I know the natural joy of feeling alive. As you say the phrases, you're connecting with the felt sense, the sense in your body of the goodwill that you're sending. And the feeling is more important than the words. And I, on my website, I will make sure I have as part of the Mindful Moments resources, the kindness, list of kindness phrases you may choose to look at. You may need to adapt the phrases. You may need to create your own. The list is just something to get you started thinking. And in the meditation, you repeat the phrases over and over, letting the feelings permeate both your body and your mind. But kindness isn't a one and done. You really need to practice this meditation at least several weeks until you can really feel the sense of kindness. And we often have a lot of trouble feeling kindness or loving toward ourselves, so usually when I do a kindness practice, I start with a benefactor. And a benefactor is a person, an animal, a place, a scene, a memory, or even a divine being that allows us to feel unconditional love. Not unconditional love 24/7, but feel unconditional love for at least a moment, or maybe a short period of time. So you'll choose someone, whether it's a child, a puppy, a sunset, a beach, a spiritual leader, to be your benefactor. And we'll use them to help us wake up the feelings of love, or maybe you want to call it innate goodness, that's hidden under layers and layers of defense that we've added to ourselves over the years. Because the defenses keep us from feeling love. And that's why we simply repeat the intention over and over, because we've got to penetrate those defenses. So while you're learning kindness, it's probably easiest to do it in formal meditation practice. But you can send kindness anywhere. You can use it in traffic jams. You can use it in buses and stores, at work, on airplanes, at a basketball game. And you can use it at any time to calm your mind and keep connected to your heart. My sending metta to the players did not make them make their free throws, but it did help me to feel more connected to them and more interested in them doing their best, regardless of what team they're on. And that brings us to our fourth practice, which is nurturing gratitude. Gratitude is a gift. People who practice it have an improved ability to cope, are more likely to take active steps, look for the silver lining, reach out for support, regulate negative emotions more skillfully, and manage impatient urges. That's the one I'm hoping gratitude's going to work on me. Before you go to sleep at night, you often have thoughts about your day. How many of those thoughts were about what went wrong, what irritated you, or the one thing that you wish you hadn't said? Our brains are wired to pay attention to the negative, so we always feel like we have to be on alert, and we put up our defenses. And therefore, our brains have become Velcro for the bad and Teflon for the good. We need to rewire our brains if we want to savor the good. When I started a gratitude practice probably 2 years ago with a friend, it was really hard to come up with three things I was grateful for. Even after doing the practice a couple of months, I really struggled to come up with ideas of what I was grateful for. My inner critic kept telling me that each thing was not good enough. It was looking for a winning the lottery type thing. It wanted a fantastic experience to include and nothing less. It's hard to get started feeling grateful because we take so many things for granted. Gratitude's a muscle we need to build up, just like mindfulness and kindness. First, we have to be mindful enough to see what we can be grateful for. And then we have to take the time to savor it and just really appreciate it. Today, I'm really appreciating my non-stomach ache because last week I ate some dairy, which sometimes I can get away with, but I was gassy, so I took some chewable Gas-X, which happens to have soy in it that I'm allergic to. And for 5 days, I kept taking more and more Gas-X because my stomach was off. Until finally I looked at the ingredients, and this morning I have a non-stomach ache, and I really feel grateful for it. So just have things that we normally ignore. I mean, think about it after you've had a toothache, how much you appreciate that non-toothache for about 5 minutes, and then it's gone. We often think gratitude is dependent on something out there. But gratitude welcomes whatever it is we're given. It doesn't know any stories about what should have been, and it's not dependent on what you have. Gratitude can take us by surprise. It arrives out of nowhere. After having a headache, we're grateful for a non-headache. And when we're outside, we can be grateful for the sun shining through the trees if we bother to stop and look at it. So gratitude is really dependent on your heart. You can find gratitude even in the sorrows in your life, the hand that you've been dealt. Sometimes it's the hardest things that your heart learns the most important lesson. Now, 30-some years ago when I got divorced, I would have never said I was grateful for getting divorced. But right now I look back and I'd never have the mindfulness practice I have. I'd never be the person I am if that hadn't happened. So sometimes even in our sorrows, we can be grateful. If you think about it, some of the people in the poorest countries are really grateful for what they have. They don't know what they don't have, so they're not missing it. So gratitude is something that we can develop if we take time to practice it. And so what I encourage you to do, because we're running a little low on time, I guess we have time to do one short reflection. Take a moment to look at what has satisfied you in the past week. What really makes you feel nourished? It could be big things, but it could be little tiny things. You can savor the little things just as much as you can savor the big things. Today, someone held the door open for me. Just thinking about what in the last week or the last 24 hours can you be grateful for? And you may want to start like Judy and Jean have been doing, a gratitude practice, where each night you write down three things. And sometimes it helps if you have a gratitude buddy. And if you're interested in that, get in touch with me and I'll see if I can't hook people up together, where you send gratitudes either by text or email to each other every day. The benefit of having a gratitude buddy is you don't, it takes away the excuse of forgetting. Because when your gratitude buddy sends you an email, then you know you have to email back. And it might seem paradoxical to think about things you're grateful for when you're in a negative mood or in a stressful situation. But by practicing gratitude, we improve our ability to cope. We're more likely to take the active steps we need to take in a stressful situation. We begin to see the silver lining, and we're more likely to reach out for support so we can regulate our negative emotions more skillfully. In other words, the time when gratitude doesn't come naturally is probably the time when we need it most. That's why we need to practice gratitude, being aware and amazed by life, nature, and love every day. Because if we haven't practiced gratitude, the gift won't be there when we need it to lift us out of a negative mood. We can all become more grateful human beings. So fostering awe, cultivating an abundance mindset, strengthening our kindness muscle, and nurturing gratitude give us the strengths we need to deal with difficult emotions, challenges, and vulnerabilities. These are the supplies that we need to make our way down the hard road of life. And the only way to get these supplies is to grow them through practice. My teacher, who recently passed away, Thich Nhat Hanh, says, "With mindfulness, we can produce a feeling of joy, a feeling of happiness whenever we want. Because we are a practitioner, we should be able to fabricate, to produce a moment of joy, a moment of happiness. We know what conditions we need to produce a feeling of joy, the feeling of happiness for us and for the people we love. As a practitioner, we should be able to produce a feeling of joy to nourish us and the people we love." And so those four practices help us to just feel good about ourselves and start understanding that inner goodness that's inside of us is there all the time. It's there when we need it, but sometimes it's covered over. So I hope this will inspire you to look into those practices a little bit more and try them. And I believe on my website, other than Inspiring Awe, I have information about all of those or meditations that might help you with those. So thank you for coming today. Thank you for listening, being here to support each other. If there are any questions or comments,